Michael Wolff is the New York Times bestselling author of Fire and Fury and Siege, and now completes the trilogy on the epic presidency of Donald Trump with his new book, Landslide, The Final Days of the Trump Presidency. Michael Wolff has been a regular columnist for New York Magazine, Vanity Fair, British GQ, The Hollywood Reporter, and The Guardian, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him back to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Delighted to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. Given that this is the third book and looking at the end of the administration, does it in any way become easier in collecting the information because of the sources that you had for the previous two books?
Surely. I mean, I think we could say practice makes perfect here. But in addition to that, and this is as surprising and as confounding to me as to anybody, that the former president was incredibly helpful this time. Now this is kind of crazy because after my first book, he threatened to sue me, tried to stop publication, tweeted all manner of terrible things about me. But that didn't seem to matter this time, and he invited me to Mar-a-Lago, and we spent an afternoon and evening together. And then he told anyone else who I asked, "Oh yeah, speak to him, no problem. He's a great writer." So I don't know. Very hard to figure, but as I said, he was very helpful.
Now, why do you think that is the case? And I ask the question because I'm also wondering whether is it especially fruitful for you in talking to the president, or is it more of the same of what we are used to in hearing from the president, the former president of the United States?
I think both sides. I mean, the truth is the president isn't going to say anything that he's actually very hard to ask questions of because he doesn't listen. So he just goes on and says whatever is on his mind. But having said that, he's incredibly transparent. Whatever comes into his head comes out of his mouth. So he is both at the same time. In his way, he is actually very revealing. He's always hanging himself. At the same time, again, you can't really pin him down on anything.
So how do you then take that information and make it into something that you can write about it? Because are there people, obviously you have sources that you can pin down.
Yes, no. I mean, the sources around him are actually very helpful. And in my experience, incredibly clear-eyed. You know, to be close to Donald Trump is to have seen something that you never expected to see in your life. I mean, is to be horrified by what you have seen. So the people around him are, I have found, they want to share what they have seen, partly because they can't believe it. You know, but at the same time, you know, having said that, you can also, I mean, one of the things that I've done in this book and in other books is you just report exactly what the president says. And he always, as I said, hangs himself. But it is always kind of revealing. You see the fact, you know, the way he talks, the manner in which he talks. And so that your conclusion is that he, you know, it often is that this is the man, this is the talk of a crazy man.
Talk of a crazy man, but I mean that all of this is deadly serious when we start talking about our democracy, and we start talking about what of taking an election or of the big lie, as it's being called. So I guess for you, what is that balance?
I don't know. I mean, in a way, I look at this as above my pay grade. You know, what I'm trying to do is report on what I've seen, what I've heard, what people close to the action as possible are saying, and then letting people draw their own conclusions. I mean, I think that if I'm doing my job correctly, I've brought readers right as close as they can possibly get to this experience.
I mean, at one point in the book, you refer to him as an innocent. How do you mean that?
I think he believes what he believes. I don't think he's cynical at all. I mean, I think that comes as a shock to people who think of him as this, you know, incredibly, you know, as this huckster and this incredibly manipulative person. I don't really think that that is true. I think that for instance, that he believes the election was stolen from him. Now, I hope I've portrayed this in its full absurdity and preposterousness. He believes the election was stolen from him, but nobody else, literally nobody else in the White House, in his campaign, in his family, believe this. So he is a man alone, a man who exists in his own particular bubble of reality. I mean, sometimes he invites Rudy Giuliani into that bubble, which makes it all the more alarming. But again, I have no doubt that he actually believes he won this election.
I'm interested in the fact that even if he thinks he won the election, I mean, those around him, of how they deal with that, up to and including what happened on January 6th. But let us first talk about election night and what swirls around. Did he go into election day 2020 thinking he was going to be reelected president of the United States?
Absolutely. Again, without a doubt in his mind. I mean, and I think in some sense we can say this is a man for whom doubt, you know, whole idea of doubt is foreign. He conducts his life with absolute certainty. And he went into election day, yes. And he had, it was very fixed, clear in his mind. There was no way he could lose to Joe Biden. He was such the better person, or such the better candidate, such the more forceful, aggressive, charismatic candidate to Joe Biden, that he couldn't lose, that if he lost, and this is how his thinking went, if he lost to Joe Biden, that could only but mean the election was stolen from him.
And the people around him, what were they telling him as the results came in?
You know, this is a complicated thing because it's very hard to tell him anything. Just as a rule, he's the one who's talking. People do not talk to him. And if they do try, he certainly is not going to listen to him. And then if by chance they can get a word in edgewise, the only word that will be allowed to be gotten in edgewise is exactly what he wants to hear. So, I mean, we're talking about a pathology here that I don't think never been seen in the White House, and it's a pathology that's I think is rarely seen by anyone in everyday life. I mean, maybe only because Trump is a rich man's son and has always had enough money to do exactly what he wanted to do. I mean, that would be one level of the way to read this. But I spent a great deal of time talking to almost everybody who was around him on election night, and it was for all of them a cause for great concern. They saw this train wreck happening. The election night started on an up note, and then it was chipped away and chipped away and chipped away, and they all saw this happening. They were almost no one was able to communicate to him that this was happening. And then at the end, they all saw this as something that they were never going to change his mind about reality as he construed it.
You really saw the opposite of it, I guess, where he loathed you and then now he was talking to you and likes you. So I'm curious as to the normal way that it seems to go in the Trump administration, where someone is elevated and then there is a falling out and then there is revenge against that person. And that seems to have happened to many of the people who were in the room that night.
Yes, I think almost all of them. And that's, I think, been a pattern through his entire career. If you work for Donald Trump, you get burned by Donald Trump. Or somebody, one of his aides said to me, we are all Donald Trump's mules. And, and he might set you free if he doesn't need you anymore, but as likely he'll shoot you.
One of the headlines that came out of the book was that Rudy Giuliani was drunk on election night. Also, you point out that he was frequently buzzed. So what does that tell us about that relationship and his input? Because following the election and up until inauguration day of Joe Biden, Giuliani was a central figure.
It's interesting because even Trump has often pointed out to people that Rudy is drinks too much. He falls asleep in meetings. He's incredibly disorganized, loses focus. But nevertheless, at that point, beginning on election night, Rudy was the only person saying what Trump wanted to hear. So by default, he was taken back into Trump's embrace and once again appointed as Trump's personal lawyer. I mean, this has happened at several times quite disastrously throughout the Trump presidency, resulting, of course, in his first impeachment.
So when you look at what has happened over the past, say, year, what does that tell us, or what do you think it can tell us anything as to what the next 2 or 3 years are going to be like as this former president's political future is still somewhat unknown, although we assume that he's interested in running again?
Yeah, I think very much. I mean, I think that it is there's an interesting thing here in which I don't think that Donald Trump doesn't have to be the president to be Donald Trump. But as part of being Donald Trump, he is a man who is going to run for president. I don't think that there's any circumstance in which he will let somebody else become a dominant player in the Republican Party.
And he still has great power in that Republican Party, even with all of these, let's just use a polite word, issues. So how stable is that support?
I mean, I think people have been asking that certainly since the 2016 campaign. And the answer is that it turns out to be incredibly stable, inexplicably stable. After January 6th, when many, many people, and certainly many people in the leadership of the Republican Party, thought Trump was finished. This would destroy his power and indeed his place in history. Many Republicans in the leadership felt finally they had broken the Trump spell. And then on January 11th or 12th, a new poll came out showing remarkably strong support throughout the Republican Party, even given what had happened on January 6th, and remarkable belief among an overwhelming number of Republicans that in fact the election had been stolen from him. So at that point, any sense that there was a break here dissolved, and everybody went back. Everyone in the Republican leadership went back to professing their support for Donald Trump, even though, frankly, most of them also think he is a crazy person.
Okay, so let me end with this question, Michael, and that is, your book, of course, is one of many that have written about this president, not just this book, but your past books as well. All have been bestsellers, meaning your books, and they have people want to read more about this guy. What do you think there is about him that even if you were on the other side of the aisle and you wanted to vote him out of office, that people are picking up your book to read stuff about him? What is that? What is it, do you think, that is so interesting that people can't get enough of?
Well, let me offer a few ideas, because obviously I've given this a little thought. And I think that the phenomenon, the Trump phenomenon, remains inexplicable to many, many, many people. And I think that there's an urgency to want to figure out what happened here. How did this man, how did a crazy man, become the president of the United States? So we still don't have an answer to that. I mean, then the other thing is he's an incredible American character. Who can believe that someone like this even exists? You know, his obsessiveness, his fixations, his doubtlessness. You know, he's that in literature, he's that you know, he's larger than life, which he really is. And then the third thing is, you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know what this guy is going to do. What is the next turn, and it will be an incredible turn in this story going to be.
Will you write about it again?
You know, after the first book, I said, I hope not. And after the second book, I hope not. And now I'm also saying, I hope not. But, the train leaves the station and we all jump on.
That's right. The name of the book is Landslide, The Final Days of the Trump Presidency, as published by Holt. Michael Wolff, you've been nice enough to be on for all three books. I thank you for your record in that, and I thank you for being with us this morning.
Great. I hope we don't see each other again on the fourth, but, you know, I'll be
You never
here.
Know. Great to talk to you. Thank you very much. Again, Michael Wolff is the author of Landslide, The Final Days of the Trump Presidency. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.